Morning, everyone. Daf Dalet and Zvachim. Started the Masechta just a short couple days ago, and we are spending our first parak of Zvachim learning about this halachic category of Lishma. Whenever you shecht the carbon, it must be shechted Lishma. It has to be done for the sake of the purpose of that carbon. So if you're bringing a shlamim, so the kohen who shechts it has to say, this is for a shlamim. We talked about articulation. Do you have to actually say it? So according to both Rashi and Tosfos, which I'll show you again today, they both maintain that anytime we talk about a machshava, we talk about a thought, it has to be articulation. You have to verbalize the thought, otherwise it's nothing. It's not a... It doesn't add, it doesn't take away. But this idea, this concept of lishma, is such that when you shecht the carbon, it must be done lishma. Not only when you shecht the carbon, but when you do any one of the dalet avodos, there are four significant critical periods in the carbon, in the asiyas of carbon, and the performance of the carbon, in which these machshavas become significant. The four avodos are again, and we're just going to keep drilling it in again and again, and eventually we're all going to get it. Myself at the foremost. Number one, there's the avodah of shechita. Shechita is shechting the carbon. Number two is kabbalas adam, where now a kohen stands there by the neck of the animal right after shechted and has a bowl over there and allows the blood to go into the bowl. This is what's called kabbalas adam. Number three, halacha, walking the bowl with the blood over to the mizbech. And finally, zrika, sprinkling of the blood on the mizbech. So if any one of these points during the avodah, the kohen who's doing the avodah says, I'm not doing it for this carbon, I'm doing it for another carbon, so he offends the carbon, so to say. To what degree is the offense? So it depends. So generally speaking, it doesn't disqualify the carbon, but generally speaking, it just simply detaches the owner from the carbon. So now the carbon's still going to be brought, but the owner does not get credit for the carbon. The owner has to go and bring a new carbon. There are two exceptions when we learned about in the Mishnah, which is Karban Pesach and Chatas. By Karban Pesach and Chatas, if the Kohen was doing the Avodah has a Machshava Shalol Lishma, if he tries to reassign the carbon to another type of carbon, there is a full disqualification of the carbon. Then he cannot bring the carbon anymore. Good. That was the Mishnah back on Daf Beis. In Daf Gimel, we talked a little bit more about Stam versus Lishma, meaning what if he had no machshava? What if he didn't have a positive or a negative one? So as we learned in the world of Karbonos, that's acceptable, that's fine. In fact, there is an opinion that we talked about on Daf Beis Amud Beis that really, if that's the case, then really a kohen shouldn't say anything, because right by silence, Stam is fine, and if he says something, there's a good chance he's going to mess it up by redesignating. So therefore, we learned on Daf Beis Amud Beis that really the kohen shouldn't say anything. We spent a good part of yesterday on Daf Gimel talking about this idea of mina velo mina, right? The similarity versus dissimilarity, which is more offensive to the carbon. Changing it to something which is similar versus changing it to something which is dissimilar. Admittedly, yesterday was a tough daf, and I promised you, Zvachim is an easier masechta. Concepts that we're not that familiar with, but the Gemara itself is, generally speaking, easier. So yesterday I didn't deliver my promise. It was a difficult daf of Gemara yesterday. But today, however, is pretty straightforward and pretty systematic in terms of its analysis of the Mishnah.
What happened to bottom line yesterday?
There's no bottom line. It depends. It depends on what the reassignment is, and it depends on the topic of discussion. Yesterday was tough. Okay, today will be easier. Minalan, we start off with the very top of today's daf. Today's daf is daf dalet. We start on the very top. Where do we know? The Gemara's question is that how do I know that there's this idea that shalol lishma is, other way around. How do we know that there's this idea of lishma? That when I shecht the carbon, I must have in mind, and I say I, by the way, I mean anyone who's doing the avoda. It happens to be, we'll get more familiar with these halachas, it happens to be that in the world of shechita, anybody could do shechita, it doesn't have to be the kohen, but after that, it's all kohen all the time. But we're talking now about the person who's doing the avoda. How do we know that he has to have this component of lishma? Rashi says the Gemara's question is going on lechatchila practice, meaning that from an a priori position, how do I know that there's this idea of shechting it lishma for the sake of its carbon, whatever it's being brought for? So the first question that we're going to deal with is, how do I know that has to be shechita lishma? So the Gemara says, well, let's look at the pasuk v'im zevach shlamim karbono. It says zevach. Thank you. It says zevach shlamim, right? The pasuk says. Now again, you got to know your parsha Vayikra, right? A lot of zvachim is contingent on parshas Vayikra. So go over it again, familiarize it again. Perek Gimel, we spent Masechta Horios, we talked about Perek Dalet. That's all we talked about in Horios. Here we're going to talk about Perek Aleph, Beis, and Gimel in Vayikra. So get more comfortable, get more familiar with Parshas Vayikra. So here, Perek Gimel and Zevach Shlamim Karban. No, we're talking about the Shlamim. Right? Perek Aleph and Vayikra talks about the Karban Ola for animals and for birds. Perek Beis talks about... Yeah, I should get more familiar with it. Perek Beis and Vayikra. Is that Mincha already? Okay, I'll look it up. And then Perek Gimel's talking about the Shlamim. Right? Okay. So the... I'll have to look it up. So Perek Gimel is talking about Shlamim, and the pasuk says regarding Shlamim, Vim Zevach Shlamim Karbano. Right? It's a the Torah describes it as being Zevach Shlamim. Zevach means Karban, and Shlamim, of course, means Shlamim. That's the Shlamim offering. So Shitei Zvicha L'Shem Shlamim. So the drasha goes like this, that when you shecht it, it has to be for Shlamim. Okay? That's the drasha. Gemara questions the drasha. Gemara says, how do you know? V'doma Hainu Shemayu. You're making an assumption. You're thinking that it's called Zevach, and we Zevach L'Shem Shlamim. Maybe not. Gemara says maybe the name of the carbon is called Zevach Shlamim. And so if that's the name of the carbon, so then we have no way to drash it. We have no right to darshan the pasuk. So the Gemara says no, that's not true. Midechsiv amakriv is dam hashlamim, hazorik is dam hashlamim, veloksiv zevach, v'hachakiksiv zevach. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. The name of it is not Zevach Shlamim. The Gemara says, because I'll show you other times in Chumash, right? The Gemara quotes from Parshat Tzav. I'll show you other times in Chumash where it's called simply Shlamim. The name of the carbon is called Shlamim. So now we go back to Perek Gimel and Vayikra, and it says Zevach Shlamim. So now the pshat is, when I shecht it, I have to have in mind, has to be L'Shem Shlamim. Good. That now tells us, we've so far established, that when I shecht a karban, kohen or non-kohen, doesn't matter in the world of shechita, it has to be for the purpose of shlamin. Assuming, of course, I'm shechting a karban shlamin. Ashkechan zvicha shar avodos minalan. So the Gemara says, now we've established one of the four. What about the other three? Kabbalas Adam, receiving the blood, holacha, walking it over to the mizbeach, and zrika, and sprinkling. How do I know that there is an element of lishma, that I must have lishma, those three as well? V'chitem alayot mizvicha, and the Gemara says, and what are you going to tell me? Let's learn it out from zvicha, malazvicha, shekein nifsa, shaloshem ochlim, the pesach. There's a chumra by shchita. So again, we're going to get comfortable because we're going to see this again and again. When we try to compare one avoda to another avoda, the Gemara is going to tell us that there's a unique aspect to every avoda, and so therefore we will always have this problem of learning one avoda from another avoda because there's unique aspects to each of the avodas. So now let's focus our attention on shechting. There's a unique aspect to shechting. Now, as I already mentioned, one unique aspect of shechting is that it can be done by non-kohen, which is correct. But that's not what we're going to focus on right now because we want to talk about how it's machmir, how shechting has a unique aspect that makes it more stringent than the other avodas. So what's more machmir about shechita? So the Gemara says that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, if you shecht it, l'shem ochlem, shelo l'shem ochlem b'pesach, it's not good. That means to say as follows. Erev Pesach, 14th day of Nisan, I have my Karban Pesach in mind, in hand. And I shecht it. And I say to myself, you know who I'm shechting this on behalf of? I'm shechting on behalf of a group of people who cannot eat. Rashi gives examples. Let's say they are aged, the people. Let's say they are sick. They just can't eat. These are people that can't eat. Fine, right? Otherwise, fine. People just have difficult problems eating. You know what happens to the Karban Pesach? It's puzzle. The Karban Pesach is disqualified. Now, wait a second. Let's think this through. I did what I was supposed to do. I shechted the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is a unique karban. We talk about this throughout the Masechta. In Pesach, we talk about this at length. Karban Pesach is unique. The purpose of the Karban Pesach is that it must be eaten. We don't say that about other karbanos. Meaning, by a shlamim. If I shecht a shlamim and nobody eats it, still the karban's still good. By a toda, same thing. Right? In general, eating is a right, but not a requirement in general. By Karban Pesach, eating is a requirement. there must be consumption of the Karban Pesach. If I shech the Karban Pesach and there is no consumer, no one's eating the Karban Pesach, it's not a good Karban Pesach. And even when I shecht it, and I have people in mind who can't eat, and those are the only people I have in mind, because remember, by Karban Pesach you have registration. Every Karban has a number of people that are registered. If the only people that are registered over this Karban Pesach are people who can't eat, the Karban, the Shechita, is not a good Shechita. Okay?
What if, like, there's a majority minority?
Then it's fine. Okay. Then it's absolutely fine. But right now, just establishing the idea that by Shechita you have this Chumrah, that shechting a Karban Pesach l'shalola ochle for people who can't eat disqualifies the Karban. And that is not true by any of the other avodas. It's not true by Kabbalah Sadam, Halacha, and Zrika. It's only true by Karban Pesach. Fine. So now we were just introduced to a Chumrah of Shechita. So that's why I have this Halacha of l'shma by Shechita. I want to transfer the Halacha over to the other avodas. I can't, because Shechita has a Chumrah. Let's move on. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it from the word hamakriv. He offers the dam ashlamim. Now, makriv, is the Gemara is assuming, means kabal sadam. Okay? I'll explain that assumption in just a moment. But meanwhile, hamakriv is dam ashlamim, should take kabal ashem shlamim. Good. But if you go with that assumption, that hamakriv, which means the one who offers, is a reference to kabal sadam, so now we have a source that tells us that it must be done l'shem shlamim. So kabbalah sadam, the receiving of the blood, has to be l'shem shlamim. Good. But lechtov rachmana b'kabbalah. I'm sorry. Before we move on in the Gemara, right? It's just again, just we're getting comfortable with these ideas. How do I know that hamakriv means kabbalah sadam? So Rashi brings down. It's based on a drasha, right? The Tanya, the Gemara will say this later on. Rashi writes, v'hikrivo zu kabal sadam. If you look in the context of the psukim, you will see that v'hikrivo is between the shechita and the zrika, and therefore it's a reference to kabal sadam. How do I know it's a reference to kabal sadam? Meaning, remember, there are four avodas. There's shechting, kabal sadam, holacha, walking the blood over to the mizbech, and zrika. The Torah spells out shechita and zrika. The two middle ones, the Torah doesn't spell out. There is v'hikrivo, which literally means to get closer or to offer. And the Gemara is assuming, right? Rashi tells us that that's always referring to kabal sadam. Why isn't that referring to halacha? How do we know that that's not referring to halacha? So we're going to get introduced to the idea for the first time today and keep repeating again and again. Because although halacha is an avoda, it's not a necessary avoda. What is halacha? It's simply taking the blood and walking over to the mizbeach. You could, a kohen is allowed to shech the karban right next to the mizbeach. Halacha is not absolutely necessary. If it's done, halacha is funny. If it's done, it's an avoda, but it doesn't need to be done. So the truth of the matter is that there really are three avodas and a fourth optional avoda. Right? So one and two are necessary. Shechting, of course, is necessary. Receiving the blood is absolutely necessary. Holacha, not necessary. But if it's done, it's an avoda. And finally, of course, zrika. So one, two, and four are necessary avodas. Number three, holacha is an avoda, but doesn't have to be done. Therefore, when the Gemara quotes the hikrivo, and he will bring it close, although you could say it's talking about holacha, it's not, it's talking about kabal sadam. Good. This is all introduction. This is like hello to the world of Kachin. So Shitei Kabbalah Shem Shlamim. V'lechtov Rachmana b'Kabbalah V'leila Shechita Minah. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we've shown you that Lishma has to be by Kabbalah. Why doesn't the Torah just do that? Just tell us that there's this Lishma requirement by Kabbalah Sadam, and then just simply go backwards and say, well, if it's by Kabbalah Sadam, it's got to be by Shechita as well. Mishem De'ik LaMifrach Malah Kabbalah Shekem P'sula Bazar V'isha. Well, the Gemara says, I tell you why I can't, because there's a unique aspect to Kabbalah Sadam, meaning there's something in Kabbalah Sadam that we don't have by Shechita, notably, that by Kabbalah Sadam it can only be done by a Kohen. It can't be done by a non-Kohen. Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. So there's a Chumrah by Kabbalah Sadam that you don't have by Shechita. So you want to tell me that there's Lishma by Kabbalah Sadam, and therefore we should go backwards and say, oh, there must be Lishma by Shechita. Can't, because there's a Chumrah by Kabbalah Sadam that we don't have by Shechita. Interesting that the Gemara says that when it comes to Kabbalah Sadam, it's possible by a Zar and an Isha, by a non-Kohen and by a woman. The Gemara makes it sound very clear that the Shechita can be done by a woman. Right? The fact that we're excluding a woman from Kabbalah Sadam makes it exceedingly clear that a woman can do the Shechita. Right? Can a woman Shecht in general? Right? The first discussion in Yoredeya. The very first discussion, open up Yoredeya, anyone going for Smicha, learning Hilchah Shechita, it's the first discussion in Yoredeya, whether or not women can Shecht. It's very clear from this Gemara, absolutely, women can Shecht.
But can a woman be present in that segment of the...
As long as she's Tahora, then yeah. Right? It's not typical that they're there. It's atypical that they're there. But in theory, they could be there and they could check.
Even a woman who's her father's a Kohen, so she's a Kohen.
Right, a Bas Kohen. So, right, she can't do the Avoda, because the Avoda can only be done by male Kohanim. So she can't do the Avoda, but she, ostensibly, she could check.
In terms of being in the Azara.
Right, so Ben was asking. So, a Bas Kohen can be in the Azara? Right, again, it's the being in the Azara, you're not, you know, a non-Kohen walking to the Azara, there's no Isser, there's no prohibition in doing so. You can't walk into the Kodesh, you can't walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but to walk just simply into the Azara.
The Azara is Nashim?
Again, that's what I'm saying. Typically, it was not done. Typically, the women stayed in the Ezra's Nashim. That's why the Ezra's Nashim was called Ezra's Nashim, meaning it wasn't a courtyard specified for women. It's just that typically that's where the women stopped. The women did not go into the Azara. But to say that there's a prohibition for a woman to walk into Azara, I don't think there is. I don't think so. Okay. Ashkechan, wait, let's just finish up this flow. Ashkechan Shechita v'Kabbalah. So now, we have a source that tells us that there's a Lashma requirement by Shechita. There is another source that tells us that there's a Lashma requirement by Kabbalah Sadam. So we're missing two. Now the Gemara is kind of just ignore Holacha. Holacha gets ignored a lot. Okay, but I already explained why, though, this morning. Because Holacha is not a required Avoda. It's only if it's done, it's an Avoda. So you're going to see a lot of that throughout the Masechta. Holacha is like the middle child. Right? Just, it gets ignored a lot. Or is that just in my family? Okay, let's let's move on. So the Kabbalah Zrika Minalan. So how do I know about Zrika? Right? The Chitem Aleilaf Mehani. So the Gemara again goes through the same mechanics. Let's learn it out from the other two. Now we know there's Lashma by Shechita, and we know there's a Lashma by Kabbalah Sadam. So let's say, now good, so there must be a Lashma requirement by Zrika. Malahani, she came to Unim Tzafon v'yeshna mechata tapnimios. So the Gemara says again, there are chumras, there are stringencies. Chumras may not be the right word, but there are extra halachas by the other two, Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam, that you don't have by Zrika. Notably, the Gemara says that it needs to be done, Tzafon needs to be done in the north. Right, you take a look at your picture of the Beis Hamikdash. That's not a good one. that's not it.
Art school has it.
Right, right. He has a. Okay, if you have an art school Gemara, so you will see in the very, there we go, in the front one of his. So he has pictures. So if you look at the Mizbeach over there in that picture, the Shechita and the Kabbalah Sadam of Karbanos have to be done in the north side of the Mizbeach. In fact, you will see, that picture is not good, but you will see other pictures. So, but you will see over there that they actually had rings, right? Taba'os, rings, on the north side of the Mizbech where they inserted the head of the animal so the animal would stay put. And those rings were fixed into the ground on the north side of the Mizbech. So good. So now we have for us established that there are, so I'm sorry, Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam have to be on the north side. Sprinkling does not have to be on the north side. In fact, for some of the sprinkling, you're supposed to be on the south side of the Mizbeach. And also...
Sprinklers are on the corner, though. Sprinkling.
Correct, but some of the sprinklings are done on the non-north side. Correct. And also, chatas apnimis, meaning that there are certain carbon chatases, like the chatas of Yom Kippur, like the Par Helam Dover that we spoke about in Masechta Horios, right, where they are not sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, they're not sprinkled on the outer altar. Now it happens to be that those animals, the Chatzos of Yom Kippur and the Chatzos of the Par Helam Davar, they're sprinkled inside the Kodesh, inside the Kodesh, inside the actual Heichal, in the building. Fine, but the point is, however, is that there is no sprinkling of those animals on the Mizbech HaChitzon, on the Adam Mizbeach. So therefore, there are extra halachas that we have by Shechita and by Kabbalah Sadam that we don't have by Zrika, so I can't learn out Zrika from the other two. Elamakra Hazorik is Adam. I'm sorry, Hazorik is Dam Hashlamim. Good. We have another source. And you will sprinkle the Dam Hashlamim. Shetei Zrika L'shem Shlamim. That the Zrika has to be done for the purposes of Shlamim. V'lichtov Rachmanah B'Zrika V'leilof Mina. Let's go the other direction. Let's establish that there's a Lishma by Zrika. And then let's go from Zrika now backwards to the other two. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dikal Mifrach Malzrika Sheken Chayiv Allah Zar Misa. The Gemara says, again, you can't because there's something unique about Zrika that you don't have by the others. Which is that a non-Kohen who does Zrika is Chayiv Misa. Misa over here means Misa Bidei Shamayim. Right? Death by the hands of heaven. Misa Bidei Shamayim is like a cousin, probably a better relationship. It's like a cousin to Kares. Right? Kares and Misa Bidei Shamayim are very similar to one another. The first Tosfos in Yevamos notes the subtle differences between Misa Bidei Shamayim and Kares, but they're both the idea of being spiritually cut off, right? In my limited understanding of what that means. Whatever it means, however, we also know that Kares is a more, is a harsher cutting off than Misa Bidei Shamayim. Right, Tosfos over there suggests that by Kares it affects you and your children. Kares affects a person earlier in life than Misa Bidei Shamayim does. Okay, etc., etc. But in the meantime, however, for a non-Kohen to do Zrika, that's Misa Bidei Shamayim. For a non-Kohen to do the other Avodah, Shechita, he's allowed to do. But Zrika and, I'm sorry, Kabbalah Sadam and Holacha, he's not allowed to do it. He's prohibited from doing it, but the punishment is not Misa Bidei Shamayim. The punishment of Misa Bidei Shamayim is limited only to Zrika, to the sprinkling. Good. Ashkechan Kulu, the Gemara says, okay, we got all three covered. Holacha Minalan, what about Holacha? What about our middle child? Right, the Holacha, the bringing of the blood over to the Mizbech, the Chitema, Leilev Mikulam Alakulu, Shekein Avoda, Shef Shalavat La. Tamar Baholacha, Shef Shalavat La. And what are you going to do? Say that since we have a Lishma requirement by 1, 2, and 4, by Shechita, Kabbalah Sadam, and Zrika, so maybe Holacha goes along for the ride. The Gemara says no, because Holacha is not required. The other three, the Gemara's terminology is E-F-Shar Levat La. I can't do without it. They are absolutely necessary. Holacha, not absolutely necessary. So I can't learn out Holacha from the other three. Elam Akrav, Ihikriv, Es HaKol HaMizbecha, Ve'amamar, Zu Holachas Evarim LaKevesh. The pasuk goes on to say, and you will bring the you will bring, and we learned, and we'll learn this later on the Masechta. This is a reference to the walking over of the limbs over to the ramp. V'tanya, we learned in another brayta, v'ikrivu zu kabbalas adam, and v'ikrivo is a reference to kabbalas adam. V'apik rechmana b'lashon holacha lememar da holacha lo tafka miklacha kabbalah. Kabbalas adam and holacha are related. The same word that's used to explain kabbalas adam is the same word that is used to describe holacha, bringing anything closer to the mizbeach. And since they're used with the same word of ikrivo, therefore whatever is true with Kabbalah Sadam is going to be true with holacha. Since I have a lishma requirement by Kabbalah Sadam, I also have a lishma requirement by holacha. Good. End of step number one of this morning. Step number one of this morning is just simply the establishment that this idea of lishma, that when I do an avoda, and now we'll say any avoda, any of the four avodas, when a Kohen does any of the avodas with a karban, shechita, kabbalas adam, holacha, zrika, so he must have a lishma machshava. He must say that I'm doing this specifically for the purpose of this particular karban and not for any other karban. Okay, good.
Does that principle of stam also apply to these next three?
Right, well, we're going to say no, because... No, in other words, this just tells us, this is just establishing baseline for us. This just tells us that there is a Lishma requirement. Now that we know a Lishma requirement, now that we can work backwards in the Gemara and say, and what about Lishma? Lishma is considered like, sorry, what about Stam? Stam is considered like Lishma. Okay, but this is just establishing baseline. Okay, V'ashkechan Shinoi Kodesh. Good. Good. We've taken care of step one for today. We have now identified a source for every one of the four avodas that when a Kohen does the Avodah, he has to have Lishma. What about Shinui Balam? Shinui Balam Inalan. Okay? Again, we go back to that Mishnah on Memvav. I told you on Friday when we started the Masechta that this Lishma requirement, although it's brought up in our Mishnah, the main source, which is the Mishnah on Memvav, which was quoted on Beis Amud Beis, tells us that there are various types of intent that you need when you shecht a karban, or when you do the other avodas. And one of them is that you have to have the right owner in mind. So in other words, when the Kohen does, when shechts with a karban, he has to say not only what the karban is, but he also has to identify who the owner of the karban is. This is what's called machshavas balim, having the right owner in mind. Okay? And if the Kohen does not have the right owner in mind, also it's going to be an offense to the karban, and in most cases will detach the owner from the karban. Karban will still be fine, but detaches the owner from the karban. Where do we know that? From where do we know that? What's the source for that? Shinui balam inalan, amar Pinchas b'rei d'Rav, ami amakra, uvasar zevach toda shlamav, shitei zvicha l'shem toda. So we go to Parsha Tzav, next Parsha in Sefer Vayikra, and the pasuk says that the meat of the zevach toda shilamav, right? Shitei zvicha l'shem toda. Now zevach means the actual carbon, but zevach can also be the verb. It can be the actual act of shechting. When you shecht, you have to shecht it l'shem carbon toda. Okay, this is not talking about the owner. This is talking about the animal. So the Gemara uses a principle of im eino, meaning we've already established that you have to have lishma for the animal. So what the Gemara now does is that we have an extra drasha. We don't need it to teach us what we think the pasuk is coming to teach us. We therefore use it for something similar. This is the principle of im eino, right? So shetei zvich l'shem toda im eino inyan l'shinui kodesh the nafka l'mihasam taneu inyan l'shinui balim. Good. So the Gemara says that it comes to teach us the principle of shinui balim. The Gemara says, wait a second. The Gemara says, we already used that pasuk for another drasha. Ubasar zevach toda shlamav abachanin omer mishum rabbi Lazar balalamed toda sheshach l'shem shlamim kshera shlamim sheshach l'shem toda psula. Let me just finish reading and then I'll explain. Mahefesh min zelazer toda kruya shlamim ein shlamim kruya toda. The Gemara says, we use this pasuk to tell us the following. Toda is a subcategory of shlamim. Shlamim is not a subcategory of toda. The carbon toda, that's the special carbon that a person brings when he just survived, a life-harrowing experience where now the Torah requires him to bring a carbon toda. We don't have a carbon toda nowadays, obviously. We have no carbonus nowadays. We make a birchas hagomel. The birchas hagomel that we make in shul is a substitution of the carbon toda that we would like to have brought. Carbon toda, which we'll discuss at length later on in the Masechta, is really a shlamim. It's a carbon shlamim. It's a subcategory of the carbon shlamim. So that means now when a Kohen shechts a carbon toda and he says, I'm shechting this l'shem shlamim, check. That works. Because toda is a subcategory of shlamim. However, if he has a carbon shlamim and he says, I'm shechting this as a carbon toda, X. Does not work. Because Toda is a shlamim. Shlamim is not necessarily a toda. Shlamim is a broader category. Good. So, and we use the pasuk because we'll look back at the pasuk again. The pasuk says, "Uvasar zevach toda shlamav." The toda is a shlamim, which now tells us that by the carbon toda, if I have in my shlamim, check. Good. Now let's go back to the Gemara. So once I already have that pasuk, so I can't darshan what the Gemara wanted to darshan earlier. This idea of shchita l'shem baalim. So the Gemara says, anan mizevach ka'amrina. The Gemara says, no, you're focusing on the wrong word. We're learning it from the word zevach. Vakasim ibaile chatzis v'ashem inayin tamalam zevach. So the Gemara says, I still need the word zevach because even though the pasuk says "ubasar zevach toda," the just like a chatas and an asham are eaten for one day and the following night, every karban has a time limit in terms of when it can be eaten. Your standard shlamim has today, tonight, all night, and tomorrow. Right? What we call 2 days. Every shlamim has a 2-day eating limit. Achatzas and asham, today and tonight, and that's it. Right? Toda. Toda is a little strange. Because on one hand, it's a shlamim. So that would mean that you'd be able to eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow. On the other hand, the Gemara says, the word zevach tells us, through a drasha, Rashi quotes, it's based on the Torah's Kohanim, it's a medrash, that the carbon toda, 1 day and one night. So even though the carbon toda is a shlamim, but in terms of its limitation, its time limitation, it has elements of an asham and a chatas, where it can only be eaten today and tonight. So im kein, so if that's the case, nichtov kra, ubasar toda shlamav, zevach, my zevach, shmamina tarti. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. But the Torah could have reformulated. The Torah could have written it as ubasar toda, and the meat of the toda, shlamav zevach. Why does it start off with the word zevach? It's coming to tell us two things. Number one, there's halacha that it can only be eaten day and night, not 2 days. And two, that when you shech that you have to have in lishma. And then we're going to go back to what we said just a moment ago. Imeinu inyan, if it has nothing to do with shechita, because we already know the halacha of lishma, so shinui balim. Good. That was a mouthful. Step number one. We're in part two today. Part two today is talking about shinui balim. So far we've established that when it comes to shechting, I have to have the right owner in mind. If I don't have the right owner in mind, it offends the karban. Ashkechan zvicha shavar zminalan. Good. Get me now to the other avodas. How do I know that? When the other avodas, I need to have the owner in mind. Period. So why don't we learn, just make it a binyanah from shechting, because as we already established, there's a chumrah element to shechting by the carbon pesach. If I shecht it for people who can't eat, the shechting is no good. So you have a chumrah by shechting, so I can't learn out from shechita to the other avodas. Nemar zvicha b'shinu ikosh, v'nemar zvicha b'shinu ibalim. Ma zvicha amur b'shinu ikosh lo chalakta bin zvicha l'shar avodas, av zvicha amur b'shinu ibalim lo tachlik behen bin zvicha l'shar avodas. Well, the Gemara says, well, look, the whole source of it is based on zevach. We learn out zevach to teach a shinui kodesh. That means changing the animal's designation. And we also use the same word zevach to teach us about shinui balim. So, and can't you make the argument, well, by shinui kodesh it covers all four avodas. Shinui balim, it should also cover all four avodas? The Gemara says no. Ika lemifrach. The Gemara says, look, they're not the same. Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim are different, fundamentally different than one another. And the Gemara is going to now note 4 basic differences that exist between Shinui Kodesh versus Shinui Balim. Ikla Mifrach, Malah Shinui Kodesh, Shekein Psula Begufa. It affects the animal itself. Shinui Balim is not about the animal. Shinui Balim is about the owner. Shinui Kodesh is an affront to the animal itself. That's number one. Number two, says the Gemara, yesh tam ba'arba avodas. Also, when it comes to shinui kodesh, as we've already established, it applies to all four avodas. However, by shinui balim, it doesn't apply to all four avodas. We'll talk about that later on in just a moment. Yesh tam la'achar misa. Also, shinui kodesh applies even after the death of the owner. Sometimes a karban can be passed down from father to son. There is yerusha by a karban. It's a strange concept. We'll talk more about it later in the Masechta, that you can bequeath a carbon from a father to a son. Normally, what do we say? Once the owner dies, that's it. The carbon is a lost cause. We certainly say that by carbon chatas. Right? Carbon chatas comes for your sin. Right? You're no longer alive. You don't need a kapara anymore. Death provided the kapara. So by a chatas, once the owner dies, that's it. The carbon is lost. You let the animal die. But by other karbanos, we're going to see there's this concept of Yerusha. So by Kodesh, by Shinui Kodesh, that can happen even after the death of the owner. By Shinui Balim, that doesn't happen after the death of the owner. Owner's no longer here. And finally, number 4, Yeshna B'tzibor Kiviyachid. Also, Shinui Kodesh can apply to an animal that's owned by an individual and an animal owned by a community. By Shinui Balim, right? Change of ownership? That doesn't apply by Tzibor. Because by Tzibor, I can't point to any single individual and say, he's the owner. No, it's a corporation. The Jewish people, as an entity, own this carbon. So there's no change of ownership, right, by a carbon seabor. So you see that there are four fundamental differences that exist between the Shinui Kodesh, an attack to the designation of the animal, versus Shinui Balam, versus change of the ownership. Top of the next number. The Af Agav, the Tarte Lav Davka, Tarte Mia Davka. Gemara hedges a little bit on its statement. The Gemara statement was, there are four basic differences between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balam. And then the Gemara says, well, they're two out of four. Right? It's kind of like the way I would talk. Right? Not exactly. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara later on will tell us that of the four, two of them are not absolute differences. But still, Maishna Shinui Balam Dolahave Psula Begufo Machshavas Ba'alma Shinui Kodesh Nami Machshava Ba'alma. Who? The Gemara says, look, because even though you're right, it's, what do we say? It's a psul beguf. Not really. It's not a psul beguf. It's just a thought process that you're having. But in other words, it's a verbal assault on the animal. It's not really you're physically assaulting the animal, right? And by the way, the Gemara keeps going back to machshava, and I kept insisting since day one of the Masechta, machshava means dibor. Look at the top Tosas over here. Meaning Tosos, you know, the Gemara keeps saying Machshava, Machshava, Machshava. Top Tosos over here says Dibor. Over here, Machshava means Dibor. But still, it's the same point. In other words, we're still not going to lose the basic point of the Gemara. Psul beguf doesn't mean that you are physically assaulting the animal. You're not. You're just simply verbally saying, oh, this isn't a shlamim, this is an ola. No, it was a shlamim. Okay, that's not a physical assault to the animal. It's only a verbal assault. That's number one. And number two, nami machshava b'amu. Ela kemen de achshava pasla, achnami kemen de achshava pasla, ola Rav Pinchas b'reid de Rav Mari, da amri yeshinu ibalam la'achar misa. And Rav Pinchas b'reid de Rav Mari, which we'll learn later on in the Masechta, not that long from now, he says that there is such a thing as shinu ibalam even after death. Okay, and in a couple days from now, we'll explore that a little bit better. Okay. So, of the four differences between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balam, the Gemara scales back. It's not really four, it's really two. Because the idea of psul beguf, it's an assault on the animal, it's not really an assault on the animal. As far as changing the owner, that can happen even after the death, according to one opinion. So, those two are not absolute differences, but the other two, which are Shinui Kodesh applies to the four avodas. That's not true by Shinui Balam. Shinui Kodesh applies to a communal offering. That's not true by Shinui Balam. Okay, those two are absolute differences between them. Tarte, and the Gemara wraps up the question. Tarte mia ika lemifrach. Ela, amravashi, amakra. So again, what are we doing now? Remember, right, that we are just looking for a drasha that tells us that establishes that there's such a thing as Shinui Balam by the other avodas. By, well, as we're going to see in just a moment, not to all the avodas, but at least to zrika, to sprinkling. Am ravashi, am akrav, v'nir tzalo lechaper alav. Ritzui means appeasement. Right? The whole purpose of bringing a karban is to appease a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Again, in our limited understanding of how exactly that works. But we see that from day one. Noach leaves the teva, right? Brings a karban to appease Hashem. The actual avoda, the one singular avoda, that does it is the Zrika Sadam, is the sprinkling of the blood. The sprinkling of the blood is like the zenith, it's like the main point of every karban, to have its blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach. There's obviously elements of bringing parts of the animal up on the Mizbeach, there are elements of eating the karban, but in terms of establishing what is the main part of every karban, sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach. V'nir tzalo l'chaper olav, v'lo l'chaveiro. On him and not on his friend. So good. So that, the Gemara says, is a pasuk that teaches us that when you do sprinkling, you have to have the right owner in mind. Again, the Gemara says, wait a second, that pasuk is already used. Detanya, we learned in a brisa, near tzalo l'chaper olav, Rabbi Shimon Omer, esha olav chai b'achriyuso, esheinu olav, enu chai b'achriyuso. It tells us the halacha of olav. If I accept a carbon upon myself, I am personally liable for that carbon. Meaning, if anything were to happen to that carbon, I got to go back into my pocket and make up for the carbon. This is what's called neder. Personal liability on the carbon. So, and we learned it from the word Allah. It's on him. The Amr of Yitzchak Bar Avdim, in my time, it came to Amr, Allah commanded Tone Leah Katfei Dami. The Gemara says, when you say Allah, it's like you're saying, I'm taking the carpet and I'm putting it on my shoulders. Right? It's totally on me. Right? In Israel, right? The expression is Smoch Allah. Don't worry, count on me, rely on me. Here also, when you say I want to bring this carbon, it's the neder Allah, it's my pledge, my responsibility. So you got to come through with it. Something happens to the carbon, you got to make up for it. And we learn it from the word Allah. So the Gemara says, Ravashi mi v'nirtzalo licha per ka'amar. So the Gemara says, you're right. Leave the word Allah out of this. Allah tells us the halacha of neder. Nirtzalo licha per. It's a ritzui for him, for the owner. So that's how we know that in terms of sprinkling, it has to be done with shem baalim for the sake of the owner. Ashkechan zvicha v'zrika kabbalah minalan. So the Gemara says, what about Kabbalah? What about the accepting of the blood? V'chitem ala leilof zvicha v'zrika. So the Gemara says, well, let's learn now from those two. Ma'ala zvicha v'zrika shekein avodish chayim alav mechutz. No, you can't. You can't learn it from those two. Because if I took those two avodas together, we're talking now the front end and the back end, shechting and sprinkling, those two are unique. Even as a tandem, they're unique. In that, if you do those two, each and either one of those two, outside the Beis HaMikdash, you just violated the prohibition of Shchutei Chutz, offering a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not true for Kabbalah, it's not true for Holacha. It's only true for Zrika or for Shechita. El Amar Rav Ashi, Asya Me'ayol Nazir. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll learn it out from Ayol Nazir. Dechsiv Esa'ayol Yaseh Zevach Shlamim, Sheteyasi Yaso, L'Shem Shlamim. Its performance should be done for the purpose of a Shlamim. Now again, we're going to use that process of im eino English, you know, kodesh, the nafkalei mehastam teneo English, you know, good. It teaches us about shinui balim. Okay, so the Gemara now at this point seems to have established that shinui balim is offensive to the carbon and interferes with the carbon on the shechting, on the sprinkling, and now even on the kabbal sadam. Amalei Rav Acha b'Reda Rav Ava l'Rava ema yaseh klal zevach prat. So klalu prat in b'klal amash b'prat zvicha in midi achrin alo. The Gemara says, okay, if that's the pasuk, maybe you darshan the pasuk using method of klalu prat. We know, seen this time and again, one of the methods of darshaning the Torah is what's called klalu prat, general to specific. When it's klalu prat, general to specific, ein shebe klal ela mash b'prat. The examples that are given are the only definition of what the general is. So maybe when it comes to this concept of shino balim, maybe it only applies to sprinkling and to no other of the avoda. That's what it seems from the pasuk zevach shlamim. So zvicha in midach rinolo. By the way, I said zrika. I didn't mean zrika. Take it back. I meant shechting. E kasev yaseh shlamim zevach kedekamar. Hasha dechsev yaseh zevach shlamim. Havale klal she'eno malei. Because klal she'eno malei ain't done in a sobe klalu prat. So the Gemara says, no, you can't do it because it's what's called a klal she'eno malei. In other words, whenever we have a generality, it has to be independent. It has to be a standalone. If the generality cannot exist independent of the specific, it's not a generality. So part of what we define to be a generality is only something that stands alone. Good. So this is not a standalone, therefore it's not klal prat. Ravina amar la'olam danin. And the Ravina says, no, we can go with a different approach. Maybe it does serve as a klal prat. Why, if it's a klal prat, why is it not exceedingly limiting like a normal klal prat is? Because we have the words ula Hashem and to Hashem, chazar uklal, which now gives us another generality at the end. So now it is klal uprat uklal. So, and once we have klal prat uklal, so therefore it comes to include other things as well. Amle ravach medifte l'ravina v'halo dami klal kamala klal basra klal kamal mar be'asiyos v'sulo klal basra kol la'ashem v'afilu shvichah shirayim v'aktaras imurim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Klal uprat uklal only works when the first klal and the second klal are talking about the same generality. Here, the first klal is talking about the asiyah, the performance of a karban, which is the four avodas. The next klal is la Hashem, which is talking about not just the four avodas, but any temple service, including shficha shirayim, pouring of the remaining blood on the southwest corner of the mizbeach, haktaris yimurim, burning of the limbs. So the Gemara says, "Hanatan de Rav Yishma bechalu prata darish ki agavna klalu prata klal iadad dan elakeina prama prama for shavod davinin lishman av kolavod davinin lishma." So the Gemara says, "Well, Rav Yishma is okay with it. Rav Yishma, well, our man who teaches us the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 ways of darshaning, he's okay if the first klal and the second klal aren't exactly identical with one another. He still allows for klalu prata klal." Okay, one more point before we finish this mouthful. Ima prama furish avoda v'chayav n'la v'chutz av kol avoda v'chayav n'la v'chutz shchita v'zrika in kabbalah v'olach alo. So the Gemara says, okay, but maybe we're only going to include those things which are similar to one another. That means to say, shchita and zrika sadam. Why are they similar to one another? Because if you do it outside the Beit HaMikdash, you violate shchuta chutz. That's not true by kabbalah, that's not true by halacha. Or maybe the Gemara says, let's lump together Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam. Because Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam both have to be done on the north side. They both do happen to a Chatzot Sapnimis. That's not true by Zrika. So maybe leave Zrika out of it and only talk about Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam. So the Gemara says, in other words, what we have now established is this idea of klal prat uklal. We have generality, specific generality, which means that we're including other things as well. The Gemara just wants to know, I know you're including something else, but maybe let's include those things which have common denominators, like Shechita and Zrika, like Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam. But how do I know it's Shechita, Zrika, and Kabbalah Sadam? So, So the Gemara says, look, you're right. I know I'm including something else. But there's nothing compelling that says it's the Zrika-Shechita combination. There's nothing compelling that says it's the Zrika-Kabbalah Sadam combination. Shkulenhein, so now essentially everything's equal over here. So therefore, both of them are going to come into the drasha. Lishnachrin, the Gemara says, or what you could say is, the Gemara just gives us another way to say it, chadachada, teku b'milsa, they both stand. Since, again, it's the same basic idea, there's nothing compelling. Or, ibayisema, zrika midarev ashinavka. The Gemara says, or you could just simply say that zrika is learned out through Rav Ashi, therefore I don't need a drasha for Zrika, therefore all I need now is Shechita and Kabbalah Sadam.
How does the whole pasuk go again?
The pasuk is all the way up top. It's Ayo Yase Zevach Shlamim.
All this is about those five words?
And the La Hashem afterwards. Which at first the Gemara didn't think to include as part of the Klal Upradu Klal.
Because that's the klal again.
Correct. Okay, let's summarize. Okay, a little bit complex in terms of the drashas, but in terms of the idea, it's pretty straightforward. Okay. On the first time of today, we talked about Shinui Kodesh. That when the Kohen does the avoda with the carbon, any one of the dollar avodas, he has to have in mind this particular carbon. He cannot have another carbon in mind. Okay? And that's true for any one of the four avodas. And the Gemara cited Psukim that gave us the source for all four avodas. So when the Kohen does Shechita, or Kabbalah Sadam, or Holach, or Zrika, he must have in mind to do it for the purpose of this particular carbon, not another type of carbon. If he does, it interferes with the carbon. Under most circumstances, it just separates carbon from the owner. Under certain circumstances, it totally disrupts the carbon, it totally disqualifies the carbon. That's what we talked about on the Amud Aleph. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, going into Amud Beis, we talked about Shinui Baalim. Shinui Baalim, changing the owner. Meaning that when the Kohen does the Avoda, he has to have the right owner in mind. If he doesn't, it also interferes with the carbon. It disturbs, it offends the carbon. And again, same thing. Under most circumstances, it just separates owner from carbon. Under certain circumstances, it totally disqualifies the carbon as well. And the Gemara cited psukim that gave us a source for this as well. That in, when I do the avoda of shechting, kabal sadam, and zrika, I have to have the right owner in mind. And then we also learned about today the unique aspects of shechita, kabal sadam, and zrika, and holacha. Each one of them has a unique aspect about them, therefore I can't learn out one from the other. We also learned about our tandems this morning. Our tandems are Shechita and Zrika. They're a tandem because if you do either one of them outside the Beis HaMikdash, you violate Shechut Echutz. We learned about the tandem of Shechita and Kabbalah Saddam, because if I do, those two only apply to a regular carbon, not to the Chatzas HaPnimius. Not the way around. They do apply to the Chatzas Pnimios as opposed to the other two, Holacha and Zrika, which don't apply to the Chatzas Pnimios. So we learned about our tandems. And finally, just the last point of summary, is that the basic differences between Shinui Kodesh versus Shinui Balam. Shinui Kodesh is an affront to the carbon itself. Shinui Balam is not affecting carbon at all. Shinui Kodesh applies to all four avodas. Shinui Balam only applies to three of the four. Shinui Kodesh applies after post-mortem. Shinui Balam does not, although that's debatable. And finally, Shinui Kodesh applies to a carbon seabor. Shinui Balam does not apply to a carbon seabor. Good. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Ashkechan.